Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Here we are in our third week on our sermon series about Moses. And I will admit, it is a very long story. The tales about Moses span from this section of Exodus all the way through Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So be thankful that our first reading from today is so very short. But it means we have a little bit of catching up to do. 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of how Moses' mother put him as a baby in a basket in the Nile River to save him from the forces of death, how he was saved from Pharaoh, and he was pulled from the river by Pharaoh's daughter. And we heard again, after he fled to Midian after killing a man, that God appeared to him in the burning bush, a God whose name is not a noun, but a verb. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. This God who sends Moses on what seems like an impossible task. Go back to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Lead my people out of slavery into freedom to the promised land. And so Moses goes. He goes back to Pharaoh and says, "This is what God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "No, absolutely not. No, you have to stay." And so Moses says, "There will be many signs and wonders and plagues." And Pharaoh says, "Don't care, you're not going anywhere." And so Moses begins this cycle that continues over 10 plagues of some terrible misfortune upon Egypt. And Pharaoh says, "Okay, I relent." And as soon as the plague is removed, then Pharaoh changes his mind yet again. As the Nile is turned to blood, as frogs cover the land, as gnats come out of the dust, as the land is covered in flies, as the livestock are all killed, as there becomes thunder and lightning and much hail, locusts cover the land, everyone is infected with boils, and the land is covered in darkness. Even then, Pharaoh still does not relent. And so God has one last plague to change Pharaoh's mind. And it is here that our reading starts for today, because this last plague is death. Death of the firstborn throughout all of Egypt. As God says, there will be a cry such as has never been heard and never will be heard again. And this is what the Israelites are to do to prevent this plague from falling on them or their families. They are to kill a lamb, an unblemished lamb, and paint its blood on their doorposts. They are to eat unleavened bread with their sandals on their feet, ready to go, eating bitter herbs. And they will remember this pivotal moment, this time where they are about to move from slavery into freedom, from Egypt into the promised land. The plague comes, and Pharaoh finally relents. The people are able to leave, but not quite yet. As they approach the Red Sea, Pharaoh sends his armies after them again. And as God parts the waters, they walk across on dry land, safe, finally, from the powers of Pharaoh. And of course, the story continues further and further as they go to Mount Sinai, as Moses is given the Ten Commandments, as they learn through so many regulations and rules how to live together as God's chosen people, as they continue to wander in the wilderness. They eventually reach the promised land much later than any of them anticipated, certainly. But God was with them every single step of the way. Now, this story gives me a few concerns, honestly. I worry and wonder about all of the innocent Egyptians who are killed by God. I also, it makes me really concerned the way that God is presented as almost a sadistic show-off who continues to harden Pharaoh's heart so that God may show more wonders and power. But those are not the reasons that the Jewish people continue to celebrate the Passover year after year after year. That is not why it's a pivotal festival in the Jewish calendar. Because the Jewish people were in need of a sign, of a reminder, of a God who listens to them, who hears their cries and acts on their behalf. The Israelites are constantly in need of a reminder that God loves them and cares for them. They will become a tiny little nation surrounded by conquering empires. Continually conquered over and over again, they'll be sent on exile. Their temples will be burned to the ground. Eventually, they will be dispersed amongst all the world, demonized in every country they go to. And eventually, in modern times, they will be slaughtered by the millions. They have reason to think that God may have abandoned them. But here, in this Passover meal, in this meal that they have been told by God to act out again and again, they are reminded that God hears their cries, that God is powerful and will act on their behalf. As they eat the bitter herbs, they are reminded of the bitterness of their slavery in Egypt. As they eat their unleavened bread, they are prepared to go on the same journey to the promised land. As they eat this meal, they reenact God's saving work in their lives. They participate again in their salvation. Now, I will admit that I am not the most familiar with these Passover traditions. I would like to know more about them, but I hear echoes of them every single week because, after all, it was at Passover that our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And it was at Passover that he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And as often as we eat of that cup, as we eat of that bread and drink of that cup, we too remember God's saving work in our lives. Because we need reminders as well, don't we? From the early church martyrs persecuted by the Roman Empire, religious minorities who went to new and distant lands. Even now, as we look around and see the ways that racism and xenophobia are rearing their ugly heads when some of us thought that they were gone, when we see wildfires and earthquakes and hurricanes, I know for me, seeing Irma creep nearer and nearer to the congregation that I just left fills me with fear. We need to be reminded that God listens to our cries and acts here and now in this world. And here it is every week. And yes, we too can be concerned about the ways that this meal sometimes excludes others, about the ways that we sometimes believe that God loves us and no one else. But that's not why we eat this meal each and every week. As we drink this wine, this blood, we remember how this blood how our God has defeated death once and for all, the same way that painting blood on the doorstops prevented death for the Israelites. In the same way that the Jewish people eat Passover as a meal to remind them of God's power in their lives, we too are reminded each week of our God who loves us. We reenact God's salvation story in our own lives. And then, reminded and strengthened, we are sent. Because we are not the only ones who need signs. There is a whole world that is desperate for hope, desperate for healing, desperate for God. People who cannot see signs of God's saving work in their lives. People who do not believe that God hears the cries of their hearts and acts. People who need to see the ways that God keeps the powers of death at bay. And as we go out into this hurting and broken world, we become living signs of God's saving work in this world. As we work for healing and reconciliation, we reenact God's salvation story amongst all the people that we meet. Every week we come again to be reminded to see these signs as we go out into a hurting and broken world. And though at times it seems like it is full of darkness, we know in this bread and in this cup, the night is far gone, the day is near. Thanks be to God.